Log Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing what you're
gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Your computer, and come aboard and allow me to bring unto you the divine word of God as I know it to be. And I'm going straight down the word of God as he left it for us to preach his word from. Strictly by the word of God. I'm not going to add anything, and neither will I take away anything. So I want to encourage you on today to just take a leap of faith, get you some crazy faith, and matter what's going on in your circle on today, in your family, with your husband, with your spouse, with your children, with your parents, your grandparents, your business colleague, your physician, and all of those. I'm encouraging you to take a step of faith on today and know that faith is not nothing that we can see, but we know that faith is a belief of what we ask of our Heavenly Father, and we are waiting for him to perform the work that we have asked. And we know we can't demand anything of God, but we can ask God. We can go down in fervent prayer and pray and intercede for others that God will bless and heal and deliver and make whole again. So our sermon on today entitled Abraham, the Father of All Believers. I want to say that one more time. Abraham, the Father of All Believers. We got to go into the law of Romans 4 and 17, and it reads like this. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations for him whom he believes, even God whom quicketh the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That scripture reading is coming out of the love once again of Romans 4 and 17 of the King James Version. And I would just like to make note of anyone that have a prayer petition that you would like the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to call in at the conclusion of this program. And the numbers to call in are 877-598-8650, 646-200-3074. Those numbers again are 877-598-8654, 646-200-3074. You can call those numbers and speak live with the host at the conclusion of this program. All right. Now, we know that faith, we just said that faith is not something that you and I can see with the visual eye, the visionary eye. Our visionary lenses. But we come to know that we walk by faith. So we walk in faith. We walk in the belief that what God said in his word, if we use it in our everyday lives, that it will work for our benefit. So we know that faith is not nothing that you and I can see. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And I want to ask, who can forget the experience of leaving home after high school or graduation and then going to college or even to join the military or even to live, hallelujah, in another physical location? While doing so, you experience the thrill of being independent. That was also a great, hallelujah, fear and trepidation And because it was no longer you could come home after work or school and assume that dinner would be on the table. Hallelujah. The security of knowing that you could, hallelujah, survive at home without a job or even having money, hallelujah, would from henceforth be an absent. But you know that the responsibilities would now fall on you. The guarantee that you had adequate food or clothing or shelter, as much as you longed for independence from your parents, you still experience the fear of the unknown. Well, I want you to know that Abraham experienced the same doubt and the same fears that you and I do on today and every day that we live. Without our dependency on God, we are living in fear. So we do know that the initial separation from security and from familiarity, that Abraham went forth and he went on faith, believing that the God who promised blessings and greatness would honor his words to protect Abraham on the journey. We find out that Abraham didn't hesitate. He left with confidence as commanded by God. As Abraham journeyed, he found that God was able to provide and protect him in each circumstance and situation. I want you to know today, you that are out there in my digital listening audience, is that whatever you're going through, I'm encouraging you to believe the report of the Lord. I want you to open your Bible up and find your big scripture, and I want you to cling to that scripture of faith, because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Today the Lord is calling you and I and us to separate ourselves from security and familiarity so that we may go forth on faith, not seeing yet, hallelujah, but believing that God will open doors you and I cannot see. Hallelujah. No humanary visionary can see, and not even a human can shut. So we are not given all the plans. In the first beginning, we know that God just tell us to go and to do. And, you know, God told me to go, and he told me to do. And I didn't ask any question on why, God, why you having me to do this? And, you know, why we're going this way? Why not go that way? But just go in the leading of God, as God will have you to go. And so we are simply told to follow God's instruction, believing that we will be blessed in God's own time and God's own way. Because we know we cannot hurry God. We just have to wait, as the old hymn songstress would say, that you can't hurry God, you just have to wait. So we may be called to remove ourselves from a wrong relationship, to leave a job we've enjoyed for years, to forego the pleasure of the flesh, but trust in God to bring you and I and us, hallelujah, and our Christian spouse to walk with us through this life. We know that this journey of faith is not an easy one to live, but when we, hallelujah, take God at his word and step out on faith, we know that the growth, the blessings, the miracles are far greater than we could ever imagine. So I would encourage you all today to let us and we and they and them stretch out and reach forward to the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And we know that it is a commonplace for the Judean Christians. And we ask, how did Abraham know the voice of God? Let us also ask that like him we too may ask. Father, in faith, passing on to others this precious gift. We know that Abraham is first presented to us in the simple, direct call of God. God said to Abraham, leave your country, your family, your father's house. For the land that I will show you, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Hallelujah. I will make your name famous, that it will be used as a blessing. So you don't always know where God is going to lead us, but just trust God. God will never lead you wrong. God will never leave you in the wrong direction. God will never leave you into a dead-end street. God will lead you where he wants you to go. And God will bless you for being obedient servant, obedient child of God, obedient disciple. God will bless you. He said, I will bless those who bless you. I will crush those who slight you. And the tribes of the earth shall bless themselves by you. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. We know that until this moment, scripture, we know that nothing about Abraham, it is only when he is addressed by God that he entered into history. And therefore, it is at the same time the history of salvation. We know that our first impulse may be to ask what I just asked moments ago. How does Abraham know that this boy is really God? It seems sensible enough, yet it is the wrong question, for there are three presuppositions we know that which make no sense. But how does he know that this voice is God? Presupposes that we know who God is. Next, that we hear in a human event a call. Finally, that we conclude that these two go together, that the appeal comes from the God whom we know. But Abraham's call cannot be traced back to a God he knew. We know that the decisive element in his faith is precisely that he did not know who God was. He had to leave behind all those notions and concepts of the divine he had hitherto. And so, like everyone else in his tribe and country, Abraham had many religious convictions. Even an atheist had them. For not to believe in God is to itself a religious conviction. What happened to Abraham was that he was summoned from these religious convictions to faith. A giant step. What he does is not to identify or to name the appeal as coming from God, but to respond to the call and to attribute to that summons. Such important that all his previous of God's importance. That all, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, his previous of God fade away. His experience of God, who called, given such promises, determined from now on what he believes about God. All that he had previously believed of the divine, all his proud religious conviction will herefore be discerned as valuable only as they accord with his call. We know that faith can exist only as a response to a call or to a revelation. If you and I, if we want to know what is really is in the full sense of the word, we must go to that event where for the first time true faith occurs. With Abraham, he said that whenever we encounter faith, it is always in connection with this first moment of believing. And since its origin here with Abraham, faith has never ceased to be. We know that the continuity of faith, the tradition throughout the generations, is an essential element of faith in his call and is his response to that call. We find out that Abraham learned by experience the greatness and the reliability of God. His knowledge of God is not the basis of his faith. We know that it is controversially its fruit, and as it was with Abraham, so it is with you and I. Faith is a continuous growing in, hallelujah, that history we experience with God. Then gradually you and I, each one of us, that perplexing, caprescent little word that God is transmitted into a name meaningfully for us. But the transformation is achieved only on a long, hallelujah, and we know, tedious journey. And at the outset, the word God is simply three letters having reference to that which is unknown, possibly unknowable. And the three stretches before us as long search during which this inclusive concept develops from a meaningful clinch. And we know that God, who has called you and I by name, made us a people for himself. That long journey in growth of faith, the evolution of prayer, we find out that Abraham progressed in faith, was worldly characteristic. God called Abraham in Africa. And in his response, he grew in his self-deepening knowledge of God. We find out that the concept of God's appeal was demanding. Leave your country, your family, your father's house, for the land that I will show you, your father's house. He said, leave your father's house and familiar things. I want you to get up and go. That's what God says. To go hither, go there. Hallelujah. To a far land that I will show you. We know that he had to leave the security of the world familiar to himself. He had to leave behind. Hallelujah. That he know that everything that meant so much. Hallelujah to him. And so much that we fall dear to you and I in this world. We know that we have things that are very dear to our heart, our children, our spouses, our parents. But God say go. God say get up and go. Right now at this moment. You don't have time to ask questions of God of why. Why are you sending me, God? Why not somebody else? Why not my sister? Why not my brother? Why not my neighbor? Why not the deacon in church? Why not the choir director? Why not the missionary? Why would you send me to a foreign land that I know nothing about? I don't even know where I'm going. I don't even have money for this journey. But God says to go. So when God calls you, you don't ask questions. You just say, yay, Lord. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. That should be our response to our Heavenly Father. So Abraham obeyed that call. Well, he knows the time being that that is enough. And had he insisted on knowing more before he ventured his risk, he would have been showing the opposite of faith, which is never based on merely human assurance. We know that Zechariah, who wanted to be sure, would exist upon some guarantee before yielding to God's word. That we know is not faith. Abraham, without knowing where he was going, went. We know that that is absolutely, positively faith. For each of us, faith often implies that we too much set out. Hallelujah. So God tell us to leave Ur of the children, the Chaldean, to leave everything and everyone, to give up everything, to go away with nothing, just to break all ties and bonds, to go away with nothing, to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, to leave on God's command, the voice of God say go, give up everything and go. Leave Ur of the Chaldeans into the desert, into the night, to leave Ur of the Chaldeans with only God as pledge, into the country of all joy, all abundance, into an immutable offspring, numberless as the sands of the seashore, numerous as the stars in the sky, to leave on God's command, to leave Ur of the Chaldeans. We know that the initiative is God. It is he who called you and I. The presence of faith are to respond. We know that this respectivity to the appeal of God and the faithful response to it are still the core of all faith. For belief is possible only in the measure of our willingness to listen and to respond. That is why faith is always susceptible of growth. If we wish to renew our faith, there must always be a deepening of our eagerness to hear and to answer. We know that God promised, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. It is a mistake to fear that in the response to God, there is a constricting of our lives, for the contrary is true. When we let God be God in us, we are neither shivered nor stifled. We know that by his very nature, God cannot oppress. He liberates, as the psalmist recognized when he sung, God's guardian of my rights. When I'm in trouble, you come to my relief. God wants you and I to unfold. It is only when we repulse to him, hallelujah, and close an ear to his voice that we find a narrow-mindedness and a shallowness coming into our lives. But we know that the certainty that God wants you and I to live is to grow and unfold is the basic of all authentic faith. Unhappily, there are too many who consider God a threat, who are afraid to pray, for example, the prayer for abandonment. We know that we must do whatever God wants you and I to do, because we know that fear, having made his total surrender, they will find God jeopardizing their well-being by stripping them of what they hold dear. But we know that this kind of thinking distorts completely who God really is. We know that God is trustworthy. God is reliable. God is, and what his revelations are with men. God is our creator, the one who has given you and I life in the first place. The one who desires for you and I is that this life may grow and increase to the full. By freely opening ourselves to the activity of God, we are at his work, letting him continue his work of creating, of bestowing life, so that you and I may be more completely men and women in proportions to our receptivity for God. We know, hallelujah, that Abraham responded to the call of God made him the father of many nations. And I text on tonight, Father Abraham, the father of all believers. Father Abraham is the father of all believers. God said that I will make you father of many nations. Hallelujah. And gave a worldwide, almost cosmic dimension to his fruitfulness. Hallelujah. We know that the call of God will always make us more ourselves, intensifying in us that fruitfulness that Paul called the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the gentleness, the recollectedness. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, Galatians 5 and 22. Hallelujah. So we know that the right question is, are the fruit of the Spirit growing in you and I? Is it becoming more effective in you and I? In fact, the sign that I am truly following the path along which God lead will be a genuine growth in these fruits. And if there is a decrease, I can question seriously whether I am on the right path. Are you on the right path? Are we on the right path? Even though I and you and we may be on the right road, whether I am proceeding at the speed that God would want and desire me and you and us. Hallelujah. So we're going to end it right here. And I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate and to magnetize your spirit and infuse your mind. As I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any premonitions you'd want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondents, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California 95020. Email address, janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. You can also log on to www.janicewardministry.org. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now bring you Hymns of Zion, to lift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next is Hymns of Zion. Be blessed, Kingdom family. God bless you.
Be true, Lord, I wanna be your king. Yeah. Thank you. don't even need a truck.
It's the way I came up all through the week. Every night was a church night.
You know me?
If you wanna come around, back your bag, girls, and let's go there.
Ooh.
And it ain't no shame, part of my game, even in his name. So if you come from the mall and you want me to meet ya, I gotta listen to the free suburbs.
Tuesday night, if we cross the Wednesday, Bible study, Thursday
all night,
I'm meeting with the band.
Make me dance.